helpful.
So, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you're getting the C team today. I'm not as tall as Rob, so I'm just, you know, down on that scale there. Anyway, it's good to see everybody here today. And so we were trying to listen to God and see what we have for you guys today. For the Sunday school folks, it's going to be maybe a little bit of a repeat, but not very much, hopefully. Anyway, so let's start with a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your plan. Thank you, Lord, that it includes us. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son to die on the cross, Lord, that we could be reconciled and right with you. Lord, we just give you all the honor, glory, and praise, and we just ask that you be with us today. Lord, go with us. Help us, Lord, to keep our focus upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Get this back. So the question in terms of wanting to encourage and to challenge and to, I'm sorry, have something to say to you guys today. The question is, are we seeing clearly? We've been going through in our Sunday school lessons, and we've been here the last few months, I guess, looking at why we believe what we believe, so that we can do what Peter asked us to do in 1 Peter, and that is, if anybody, you know, has a question, if anybody asked, that we would know how to answer, and that we would have an answer, we would be prepared. And so the question is, are we seeing clearly? And so our text today is going to be out of Romans. It's also going to be out of Hebrews. And the problem with doing things in a topic kind of way is we lift a text and we're right in the middle of an argument. We're right in the middle of what the writer was trying to say, and we try to step in and understand. So with that, let me just begin in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Paul is talking to, writing to the Christians in Rome. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So Paul starts out in Romans chapter 1, he does two things. One, he puts the gospel front and center and identifies that the gospel message is the power of God unto salvation. He also goes along and by the end of chapter 1, he establishes that God occupies, has a place in everyone's heart, that everyone has some understanding of God and who he is. And that fact is borne out as we look at different cultures. There's not a culture that we can look at that doesn't worship something. And whether it's directed towards God and his son Jesus or something else, the commonality is that we were designed to worship, that there is a need in our heart to know and to understand someone who's bigger than we are, right? And so as we ask the question, are we seeing clearly? Are we seeing clearly our role and our position as the church to our to outward ministry and to inward ministry? So for the outward ministry, I want to then move to Romans chapter 10. Chapter 10. And so we're in the middle of a debate that has been going on in the church, and Paul is writing to the Romans, the church in Rome, to help them understand and see who they are and see their relationship to Israel. So as we find that he says, as he ends up in chapter 9, that even David prophesied that there would be a stumbling block put in front of Israel, and that they would not fully understand who Jesus is. And it brings us into and gets us into the, as we see at the end of Romans chapter 11, the mystery of the church and who we are, our position with respect to Israel, with respect to God, and how we all fit in, and how everything in God's plan fits together. So as we go through, let's take chapter 10. I'm going to do a lot of reading today. And look at Paul's heart, because he is or was a very devout Jew, very well educated. And he said he was the, you know, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, right? So if anybody ought to know this, it's Paul. So let's begin in chapter 10, Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So basically, Paul points out the big key, and one of the things about, are we seeing clearly? Are we seeing our relationship to God clearly? Because Paul said, and you can go back in the Old Testament and see for yourselves, that when God was dealing with Israel, when he first called out Abraham, right? Abram at the time, that it was through faith and faith that righteousness was given, okay? And so the Jews in their hearts over the years had come to a different conclusion. They were all about works. They were all about, you know, if I do all these things, then I'm righteous. God will accept me. And so Paul is saying, no, they missed the boat on that. And so as we try to see clearly, let's see how that resonates and can be applied to us today. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he goes on to ask the question, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we try to think clearly and ask ourselves, are we doing what God has called us to do? Remember that the first and foremost thing, at least in my mind, that God has called us to do is to proclaim the gospel message in whatever ways that we can, whether that is what our church is doing right now. We have ministers in the Philippines doing just that through preaching and teaching. We have missionaries that we support that are doing the same thing. But as for us, as we look in our day-to-day lives, I ask the question, can we see, do we see people as God sees people? Do we look past their stuff? And do we see a soul? Do we see a soul in need of salvation? Or some other ministry, but primarily for non-believers in our Christian witness, can we look past, can we get over all of the icky parts of people and see them as God sees them? So that's our question today in terms of our ministry outward. And Paul goes on to describe not only what salvation is and how people are to be saved. It's through faith and believing in our hearts and confession with our mouth. Okay? And it's through the vehicle of the preaching, the proclamation of his word that's done, that God has chosen how to do that. And he has chosen the believers and given them the mission through the Great Commission to do that. So that is our mission, okay? Later on in some of the other Pauline letters, Pat is going to take us through Timothy, we'll see how God has set up the New Testament church in order to make that happen, in order to train the next generation, and in order for us to have an active service, to the outward world. So, in the middle of all of this, that's the problem with starting in the middle, we miss out on the bigger picture of who we are. So, and Paul talks about it here and in other of his letters about it being a mystery. The mystery is how God, chose Abram at the time. Through faith, Abraham, his faith was counted as righteousness to him. And through that line, Jesus was born. And he came, he died on the cross so that we could be reconciled with God, because there is nothing that we can do on our own, right? This is where the Israelites missed out. Somewhere along the line, it got polluted that, it's through our own works that we're going to be made right with God. And God has a different plan. So, as we see at the end of chapter 11, that God has, for the moment, set aside Israel. He isn't done with them, but he ushered in something on the day of Pentecost that is new, that is different, that is certainly, yes, different than what the Jews were used to, and that is the New Testament church. And that is the notion and the message, and you'll see this through the first half or first few chapters of the book of Acts, that God is reaching out to the Gentiles. Actually, God is doing exactly what he told Abraham way back when that he was going to do. He said, it's through you that we are going to bless the entire, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you and your seed. And so that day, God fulfilled that promise he made to Abraham that through him and all of his seed, all of us, whether Jew or Greek, Gentile, doesn't matter, the plan of salvation is for all. And we ought to, that's, in my view, what we ought to be focused in on in terms of our ministry. But that means we have to look past and we have to see past the icky, nasty parts of people, right? And meet them where they are. And our job is to present the gospel. That's our job. That's what Christ left us to do. That's what he told us. And like we say in Sunday school, it's good for us to do our job, and then we step out of the way and we let the Holy Spirit do his job. In other words, we don't need to beat people upside the head, right? We present the gospel, we love them, we come up, we saddle along beside them, and they accept or they reject. If they accept, come into the body of Christ, that's great. If they reject, that's their choice. But it doesn't mean that we discard them, right? Because God may still be working and likely is still working in their life. So, that's trying to for us to understand who we are, our place, our role, and with respect to an outward ministry. With respect to one another, we'll take a text from Hebrews chapter 10, another chapter 10. Let's start with verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So, in a short list here of the inward ministry, okay? In verse 22, draw near with a true heart and full assurance of our faith. The last time I stood up before you guys, we talked about faith, talked about what it is, what it means, how it's in operation. Actually, our text was chapter 11 from this book. But having faith in operation in our lives daily and resting on God's promises, his promise of his return, his promise that he would never leave or forsake us, his gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Revealer of truth, okay? So having that as our foundation, and we hold fast to the profession of our faith. And so we're going through the Old Testament right now in the book of, we're in the book of Judges. And so, you know, Judges, up and down and up and down. Israel seems to get it. They have some good times for a while, then they just sort of forget about God. And then they get into some hard times, and they get into a scrape or two, and God has to send a prophet or somebody to get them out of trouble. And so we see, you know, the ups and downs. One of the things that the prophets, a lot of the prophets did or had to do, was to help them remember what God had done with them in the past. It's almost like they had just totally forgotten how God had, you know, called them out of Egypt and how they, you know, had led them through the wilderness, okay? So we see that, and we hold fast to our faith. We hold fast to what God has done in our hearts. And for others, for ministering to the body, we're supposed to provoke each other to love and to good works. So works does have a place. It has a very important place. It has nothing to do with our salvation in the sense of, you know, we make the mistake that Israel made, that we can do things and increase our value in God's eyes. No, we do the good things because it brings glory to God, and it's what he has asked us to do, what he's told us to do. Okay? We do because of what God did for us first. And so we are supposed to admonish each other, love each other, help each other. Book of Proverbs says that, you know, iron sharpens iron. So we help sharpen each other, keep each other sharp, keep each other useful. Okay? Because a dull hoe doesn't cut weeds. It actually makes you work a lot harder. So we are to provoke unto love and to good works. And we're supposed to assemble together and have corporate worship and have a time of sharing and teaching and fellowship. So that's biblical, and we should be about that. So in a nutshell, that sums up a really nice summary of our duties and our responsibilities to each other in the body of Christ. Okay? Not a whole lot of do's and don'ts and things like that. Not a lot of things that to keep up with, although if you read Ephesians and Colossians, you may come to a different conclusion. So the secret is, yes, there is a lot of stuff that we have to keep up with. But we keep up with each other, right? We help each other. We are instructed, okay, to fellowship. And instead of provoking, like I have this really wonderful habit of coming up to Susan and some other people, and I just poke them in the arm. I provoke them. Yeah, there's trouble sitting right back there, too. So I've almost got it right. Susan knows I'm just joking around. But, you know, provoke people to love and to good works. That's what we should be about. Seeing past the icky parts of people and seeing them as God sees them, as a soul that needs salvation. That's what we ought to be about. So anyway, let me conclude with that so that everybody that has dinner in the oven can go home and get a nice dinner without having the fire alarm going off or the smoke detector going off. So with that, let me conclude and let me just say and encourage that we have a focus. We have a mission. We have good work and things to do. And so I'd encourage us all to be about those things. So with that, we'll conclude. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Lord's Day. Thank you that we can worship. Thank you, Lord, that we can fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that we can minister to each other as part of the body of Christ, but we can also minister to the lost. Lord, that we should be ready and willing and able, Lord, to answer the challenge and the call so that, Lord, when they see us, Lord, we can reflect your Son. Thank you for your love, for your salvation. We can't thank you enough, Lord. Thank you for our position. Thank you, Lord, for your continued wonderful works in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.